Roymans Product Management Podcast. OKRs in product management. That's the topic I'd like to cover today. OKRs, which stands for Objectives and Key Results, have experienced a renewed popularity in recent years. And consequently, I'm regularly asked if and how OKRs can be applied in product management. And in this episode, I like to share my thoughts and try to answer the question. To start with, let's briefly reflect on what OKRs are. They are a method for setting and tracking goals. An objective describes what is to be achieved. The key results state how we can accomplish the objective. Let's say, for example, that the objective is to increase engagement. The key results might then be simplify user journey A and enhance feature alpha. OKRs can be used to create cascading goals, goals that are systematically linked, that are connected. And that's a rather neat feature, I find. Now, this is done by using higher level key results as lower level objectives. This might sound a little bit confusing, so let's look at an example. And I'll reuse the sample OKRs I've just shared with you. So to remind you, the objective was to increase engagement, and the two key results are enhance feature alpha and simplify user journey A. Now we can take simplify user journey A and make it into a new objective. If that's what we decide to do, then we need to formulate new key results. And let's choose two. First one is remove user journey step 2, and the second one is improve performance by 10%. I find it's worthwhile to note that OKRs were originally invented by Andy Grove at Intel in the 1970s. So Andy Grove used to be Intel's CEO, at least eventually he became Intel's CEO. And in the 1970s, Intel went through a period of rapid growth and very quickly became a successful company. And so Andy Grove's intention with OKRs was to facilitate execution, in fact, excellent execution. That is, to help people set hard, measurable goals and to be able to clearly determine if these have been met or not. And when I worked at Intel in the late 1990s, that's exactly how I experienced OKRs. Now, before we go and take a look how we can formulate goals as OKRs in product management, I think we first need to determine what kind of goals would be useful to use. And I explain in my book, How to Lead in Product Management, that setting the right goals is crucial to align stakeholders and development teams and to achieve product success. And I also suggest a specific set of cascading goals. So these cascading goals really come in three flavors. They're visionary, strategic, and tactical goals. And I like to start by choosing a vision. So a vision would be the ultimate purpose that the product should achieve, the positive change it should bring about. I typically like to express it as a brief statement or slogan, and I usually add it to the product strategy. Now, based on the vision, I then like to think about what are helpful user and business goals. And these user and business goals essentially describe the value proposition and the desired business benefits. And again, I capture them on the product strategy. Now, with higher level user and business goals in place, I like to ask myself, what would be a first meaningful step in order to achieve those goals? And that gives me a first product goal. And a product goal should be specific and measurable and describe, again, a desired outcome or benefit. It might be connected to a major release or product version, but typically it would cover a period of about 2 to 3 months. And so I like to, in fact, derive a number of product goals from the overarching user and business goals in the product strategy, and then put those product goals on a product roadmap. And then based on the upcoming product goal, I like to choose a goal for the next sprint, a sprint goal. And a sprint goal should describe the benefit of a sprint. And you can show it on the sprint backlog or the task board. So these goals, as I said, form a hierarchy. They're cascading in the sense that lower level goals are derived from higher level ones. But it's not only a top-down relationship, it's also that they work bottom-up. So for example, if you struggle to meet several sprint goals, then you may have to adjust the respective product goal. And that might not only lead to an adaptation of the product roadmap, but it may also cause a change to the strategy and the business and user goals. Now, how can we capture these goals as OKRs? And, you know, is that possible? So we can certainly try and capture the goals that I just introduced to you as OKRs. And to make this a little bit more specific, let's choose an example. And let's say that I'd like to offer a product that helps people eat more healthily, which seems to be my favorite product management example. And then I could capture the goals that I shared with you just a minute ago in the following way. So I'd start again with the vision, and I'd formulate an objective in order to capture the vision. And that would be help people eat healthily. Now, in order to have OKRs, I need to choose some key results. And let's say that I'll choose three. The first one is reduce blood sugar levels of individuals who have type 2 diabetes and are aged 40 to 55. So that would be essentially stating the target group and user goal. And second, offer an app that measures and records sugar levels in food, analyzes eating habits, and seamlessly integrates with leading smart scales. That would essentially be the standout features. And third, generate 50K of additional revenue within the first 12 months of launching the app, which would be the business goal. Now I've captured essentially the vision and a strategy as OKRs. And based on that, I can move on and ask myself, okay, what would be a good first product goal, and formulate this product goal as a new objective. And that might be allow the users to better understand their eating habits and acquire an initial user base. And I might formulate again three key results for this objective. The first one is offer an MVP that provides a healthy eating dashboard. And the second one might be launch in Q1. And finally, be ranked amongst the top 15 diabetes apps 6 weeks after the launch in the Apple App Store. So these key results essentially are the elements I would expect on a product roadmap, sort of key features, targets, date or time frame, certainly for an internal product roadmap, and then success criteria or metrics that tell me if the product goal has been achieved or not. And now I can take this set of OKRs and use it to determine a sprint goal, and again, formulate the sprint goal as an objective. And that might be validate that users are willing to share personal information when activating the app. And again, I'll formulate three key results for this objective. The first one is have a product increment ready at the end of the sprint that implements user stories, say A, B, C, D, and E, and that fulfills the definition of done. And second, conduct a usability test with 6 prospective users. And third, the test results of at least 4 people are positive in the sense that they would be willing to share the information as part of the activation process. So based on this sample set of OKRs, we can now ask ourselves, would it be useful to use OKRs? Would it be helpful to use OKRs in product management? And in order to answer this question, I think it's going to be helpful to at least briefly look at some major benefits and drawbacks of applying OKRs. And so, you know, when I reflect on the sample OKRs I've just shared with you, then I find a positive is that OKRs create consistency. All goals adhere to the same format, and that can be particularly useful when OKRs are widely used in the organization and the stakeholders and development team members are familiar with the method anyway and sort of use them in their daily work. And then coupling objectives with key results can help us tell if and when a goal has been met. So in terms of making sure that we can validate that we've achieved the desired outcome or benefit, that can be nice. And then being able to create chained, linked, cascading goals by reusing key results as new objectives. That's really neat. That's very handy. However, in the sample set of OKRs that I've shared with you, that was something I wasn't able to do. So what I did instead is I derived the product goal from the key results that essentially correspond to the user goal and the business goal. And I asked myself, well, what would be a first good step in order to meet them? And then the same thing happened when I derived the objective that captures the sprint goal. I would look at the key results of the second objective and ask myself, okay, and what would be a first step now in order to create this MVP? But there are, however, also a number of drawbacks. The first one for me is a lack of visualization. Again, reflecting on the sample OKRs I shared with you, when you write them down, then this leads to a rather text-heavy approach. And in a way, that feels like turning back the clock and not taking advantage of the visual product management tools that we've developed collectively as a community in recent years. Take, for example, Alexander Osterwalder's business model canvas or my product vision board. Now, the thing about visual tools is that they make it easier to understand and validate and evolve, say, a business model and product strategy, particularly in a collaborative setting where you, you'd like to involve the stakeholders and development team members in helping you create and validate and rework a strategy or a business model. So I feel OKRs are less suited to this simply because of their text focus. And then secondly, it seems to me as if OKRs might be a little bit overused. So John Durr writes in his book, Measure What Matters, that objectives should be significant, concrete, and action-oriented. And Andy Grove writes in his book, High Output Management, that key results should be so specific that a person knows without question whether he has completed them and done it on time or not. Now, of course, you can use OKRs to capture a vision and strategy. I did this, in fact, in the sample OKRs I shared with you earlier. But to me, that seems like shoehorning them into a format they don't naturally fit into, I have to say. And personally, I find that OKRs are best used for what they invented for, to facilitate execution, but not necessarily to describe visionary or strategic goals. Now, should you use OKRs? ultimately, of course, that is your decision. Now, I would recommend applying them if they really help you set and track the relevant goals and if they can be easily understood by the stakeholders and development teams. Now, if you're not sure, if you're in doubt, then why don't you experiment with them and see how they work for you? However, no matter how you describe your goals, if you use OKRs or if you don't use them, please make sure that you set the right goals. So you should have visionary, strategic, and tactical goals in place for your product in order to guide and align the stakeholders and development teams. And what's more, make sure that you lead the goal-setting effort as the person in charge of the product. And don't allow powerful stakeholders or your boss to dictate goals or objectives to you. At the same token, I'd recommend involving the key stakeholders and development team representatives in setting those goals. And this ensures that you leverage their expertise, their knowledge and creativity, that you create a shared understanding, and that the individuals support them, buy into them, and then see them through and actually work towards those goals. The most beautiful objectives, the most amazing OKRs are useless if the stakeholders and dev teams do not support them. I hope you found my thoughts on OKRs useful. You can learn more about setting the right goals and using OKRs by attending my product leadership workshop and by reading my book, How to Lead in Product Management. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it.